I sure enjoy the fellowship with Dean Graves, man. Yeah, you got to maintain those relationships that spark you, you know. I was talking to him in the back room. I was saying, I think we're going to know more. Did I turn the mic on? Yeah. I think we're going to know more about this before we go to heaven. We're laying a foundation for some things, but there's a lot more to learn. So let's pick up where we were here, talking about another definition of in the Spirit, is that we're basically doing something under the anointing of the Spirit or leading of the Spirit. It's important that we know the different voices in the Spirit realm if we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Because in every, I guess every move of God that there's been, I don't know everything about all of them, but I know some of the major ones in more recent history. There have been people who were supposedly operating in the Spirit, but it was a different spirit. Like familiar spirit. Sometimes people, they claim to have the gift of word of knowledge, but it was a different spirit. It was, you know, there are things called familiar spirits in the spirit realm. And really what we've got to do is develop our spirits, our human spirits now I'm talking about, to where we move only and respond only to the Holy Spirit. And because the spirit realm is real and there's another side to it. And the other side will deceive you. One of the things that I always appreciated about Dad Hagen, I noticed this, I didn't know what was happening at first until one of the lady who at the time was in charge of the Prayer and Healing Center there, Patsy Caminetti, she said this to us, and it made, oh, I understand it now. Because there would be times whenever the crowd would come into a service, whatever, camp meeting or whatever, Winter Bible, whatever service it was, and you could tell the crowd wanted to go a certain way. Maybe it was the way the Spirit moved the night before, whatever. But the crowd wanted to go a certain way. And you could tell they were trying to go that way, but Brother Hagin, by the leading of the Spirit, knew that wasn't what God wanted to do that night. And he would sometimes do different things. Sometimes he'd just sit down in the chair. He wouldn't go with it. And at a time I didn't quite, and Patsy explained, no, he's rather than yield to the spirits of the people, he only wants to yield to the Spirit of God. That's why he sat down. And I thought, oh, thank God for a safe place where what is manifested is not some other spirit, number one, or just, you know, human spirits pushing to go a certain direction. Because how many of you know we can push ourselves? You can push and get into the Spirit without the anointing, but then it'll open you up to deception. It's dangerous to go into the Spirit without the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've got to develop our spirits to only respond and move with the Holy Spirit, not demon spirits or even human spirits. Because sometimes people want to go certain directions. And so, because we have to know that part, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, we're just mentioning it as we go by, because the devil's always trying to get into the move of the Spirit. He's always trying to corrupt it. He's always trying to pervert it. He's always trying to keep it. He's always trying to bring an impure flow into it. Say the word impure. In other words, it's going to be mingled. The move of God. Satan wants to mingle the move of God with something that is not of the Spirit of God. It's supernatural, but it's not God. I remember something very interesting happened to me. Normally, I don't ever say anything about what I know along certain lines, but I was praying one day, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said to me, on Sunday, you get up and you tell this congregation, the church there where we pastor, he said, you tell this congregation that so-and-so, who's on TV and claims to be a prophet, is a false prophet. I'm like, normally, if I know that, I don't say anything about it. But the Lord told me to get up and say something. He said, call his name. and tell this congregation he's a false prophet. Well, I don't know to this day why the Lord wanted me to do it, because normally I'm not out to just talk about people, you understand? I don't normally do that. But the Lord said, do it. I guess there were people in our church getting deceived by it, is what was happening. I mean, this particular man was on Christian TV, and I'm amazed that the leaders of some of these TV stations or whoever, wherever, don't call some of this stuff out and shut it down. But this guy, so to speak, in the name of revelation gifts, was prophesying the next hit that the next Hollywood musician was going to have, and who was going to win the Grammys this year, and things like that. I told my wife, I said, God is not interested in the Grammys, and he's not even present. You know what I'm talking about in manifestation. I know he's everywhere, but don't look at me in that tone of voice. I mean... So, but the Lord told me, get up and tell the congregation he's a false prophet. And I knew by the Spirit that the Lord was going to deal with him, because nobody else was in the body of Christ. I had been to some churches, traveling ministry, behind him. In other words, these pastors had this man in, and then whatever, months or a year or two later, I'm back there. I'm coming through, and I'm in that church. And I've been to maybe three churches where he had been, and I'm now preaching. And he left bad fruit everywhere he went. He brought division into the church. Something happened, just bad fruit everywhere he went. Well, that tells you, the Bible said, by their fruit you'll know them. But I didn't mind, and it's not my business. Other people's business is their business. I'm just about my business. So I wasn't interested in getting up and saying that, but the Lord said, get up and say it. And so, sure enough, the man had a stroke. And the stroke shut his mouth. He could not talk. And within a number of months, he was dead. Young man. Well, the Lord dealt with him. Amen? Because the things have got to be kept pure in the move of the Spirit. Amen. All that shouting wants me make me stay with it for a while. It's imperative that it stay pure. I don't want to yield to any other spirit in the spirit realm. There are many voices in the spirit realm, the Bible says. And they're all pushing something, but the devil's pushing deception. And so if we're going to avoid error and maintain a pure flow and an accurate move of the Spirit, we've got to know his voice and not yield to other voices and other influences in the spirit realm. And I'll tell you, just a good old-fashioned, humble prayer life will keep you in some of these things. Also, sitting under people who have a pure move and being submitted to them. That's one of the things I love about this ministry. It's safe. Oh, is it safe? I mean... Anyway, I could go on and on about that, but that's the kind of thing we've got to. Satan is always trying to get things off, and we're going to keep it safe. Tell your neighbor, we're going to only yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen. He would love to get in and taint it, wouldn't he? In the past, there have been those who didn't know the different voices and in the spirit realm and actually yielded to the wrong spirits. And Christians ought to be familiar enough to recognize that. They ought to know the voice of their shepherd. Remember, the voice of strangers they'll not follow. And so we ought to know enough about his voice not to follow strange voices. Just because something's moving doesn't mean it's God. You know in your spirit whether it's God or not. Now, I'm not saying all this to make anybody suspicious or anybody, you know, afraid of any kind of manifestation, but just simply to be aware. We're just kind of passing by this quickly so we're aware of these things and recognize and not yield to anything else. You know, we were talking in the back room, if you don't stick with something, you can lose skill in it. Like in the natural realm, that's true. We were talking about different things like shooting guns or, you know, playing basketball or something like that, you can lose skill in it. Same thing's true with spiritual things. And just because somebody was on track at one time doesn't mean they are today. You know, people can start yielding to different things. And they can lose, they can open themselves up to other spirits. Sometimes it's because, I know there's, we don't have time to do justice on this. The Lord gave me a whole teaching on it one time. But sometimes the reason ministers start yielding to other things is because the Spirit of God has genuinely moved in the past and the people are coming wanting that again. And in order to give the people what they want, they start thinking they have to perform. And when the anointing's not there, they're trying to step into these things when the anointing's not there, and the devil accommodates them. Ministers are not performers. Don't ever get into that flow where you think you got to perform something. If the anointing's there, move with it. Amen. Learn not to shut it down, but also learn not to yield anything else. Then on the side of the flow of the Spirit, you can have an acquaintance with the way the Spirit moves and become skilled and proficient at it, and then lose skill and proficiency, like we were talking in the back room, because you don't stay with it. Brother Hagin talks about he got into a period of time where, how long he had been, 6 or 7 years or something like that, he hadn't even laid hands on the sick or something like that. And so remember that healing anointing that God had given him in his hands was to minister to the sick. And he had gone for, I think, 6 or 7 years and had not ministered by the laying on of hands. And remember, he was checking boxes into the hotel room up in, I think it was New York, and he fell across the bed and he said, "Honey, I'm sick." And she had never heard him say that. And he said, Lord, where did I miss it? And the Lord said, "Well, you know, you haven't been doing what I said. I told you to lay your hands on the sick," so forth. I don't remember all the details. But told him to lay his hands on his stomach, and that warm glow went out of his hands into his stomach, and he started getting better. And then the Lord started teaching him, saying to him, "You haven't been obeying me and laying hands on the sick. That's why you got sick." And then he said this. He said, "Go back to Tulsa and hold a meeting and minister on healing or something like that, and then that stronger anointing will come on you. And you'll get back into that flow." But he told Buddy Harrison, the rest of the story is he told Buddy Harrison, "Book me in some of these smaller churches because I've got to get back into that flow. I've kind of lost proficiency in flowing in that." Isn't that interesting? He knew he could lose proficiency at things of the Spirit. Well, we could all do that. We could lose proficiency in the inner witness. You know? We could lose proficiency in walking by faith. We can lose proficiency in all of these things. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, I don't recall if actually Jesus said it or he said it about something that he must have had in his heart. Either way, maybe Dean Graves can correct which way it was. But he said, "We're raising up skilled end time laborers." Was that a term he had in a vision, Dean? Do you remember? Or is that just something he had in his spirit through his prayer life? Or we're raising up skilled end-time laborers. What stands out to me is that term skilled. Skilled. Well, God wants us to be good at what we're doing. Amen. And good at spiritual things. Hallelujah. Well, that's all free. just sharing things as they come. So we're talking about these different definitions, and now we're on this one that the term in the Spirit means being led by the Spirit, under the anointing of the Spirit, and so forth and so on. As I was meditating on this, the Lord showed it to me this way, because remember the first one was out of your spirit by the leading or anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then the next one was conscious of the spirit realm. And now this one is also being led by the Spirit, but we're going a little bit different direction with it. The Lord showed it to me this way. And realms of the Spirit was one of them. I'm getting this. I'm trying to get it all right. Realms of the Spirit is another way of looking at what the term in the Spirit means. But he showed it to me this way. In the Spirit is three things. It is a way you move. Now, that could be misunderstood, and I'll explain that. It is a way that a person operates. It is the state that they are in when they operate in it, and it is a place that they operate from. Now, what do I mean by a way that they operate? Meaning, out of their spirit, by the leading of the Spirit. That's a way of doing something. Am I going too fast? It's a way of doing something out of your spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I heard a good minister one time say that in the Spirit is not a way you do something, it's a place. And that's true. I agree with what they're saying. I'm just, they're talking about, it's not that you know, you always do it in tongues. In the Spirit's not always tongues. But it is a way in the sense of you do it out of your spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's still on the same page? We're all on the same page? Just don't want to lose anybody. So it's a way you do something out of your spirit by the leading of the Spirit. It's the state you're in when you do it. What's that state? You're more conscious of spiritual things than you are of natural things. That's a state. You can be in different states. You're a three-part being. You can be in the state of the flesh. You can be in the state of the mind. You can be in the spirit. So it's a state you're in. And it is a realm that you're in. What is the realm? When I said realm, it's a place, excuse me. It is a way you do it. It is a state you're in when you do it. And it is a place you do it from. And the place you do it from is the realm of the Spirit. And the way you do it is out of your spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That might not all be clear to you, but it'll make more sense as you grow. But let's talk more about this way you do it when we talk about out of your spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit, or more specifically, under the anointing of the Spirit. Because whenever you follow that leading, an anointing is going to come on you. The way into the manifestation of the Spirit is to follow the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to stay it this way, because the Lord gave it to me this way one time. He said, the realm of the Spirit is the genesis of all manifestations of the Spirit. Actually, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase the way he said it. Let me rephrase, because I didn't say it right. He said this. Don't write that down, because that's not the way he said it. He said it this way. He said, the inner witness is often the genesis of a manifestation of the Spirit. Not the realm of the Spirit. I said it wrong. The inner witness. To be good at moving in the Spirit, you have to be good at following the inner witness. Because that's how you enter into the Spirit. You follow something you get in your spirit, and then the anointing comes on you, and now you're operating in the Spirit. So the inner witness is often the genesis. The word genesis means the beginning.
Yes.
The inner witness is often the genesis of a move or manifestation of the Holy Spirit. How, you've seen Pastor Nancy operate, you've seen Dr. Dufresne operate, other ministers operate, and they do something and the anointing falls. How did they know to do that, to get that anointing to fall? They just had a prompting. That was the genesis. That was the beginning of it. I like the way the Lord said that to me. Do you like that like I like that? And so, this is something that takes faith to respond to. Because when it comes to the inner witness, sometimes it doesn't make sense in your head. Why would I do that? Well, that's what shuts these things down. No faith to respond to it. Hallelujah. Well, we're learning not to do that. That's what Holy Ghost meetings are. We have, like a couple weeks ago in the Holy Ghost meetings, strong moves of the Spirit in the services. They are really just, no, not just, because God's doing more than just this. But He is training us. One of the things He's doing is training us to get in the flow of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Whenever the anointing comes, you just respond to it. Praise the Lord. And so, in the New Testament, like I said, the emphasis is doing things in the Spirit. And whenever we respond to the leading, then the anointing destroys the yoke. It comes into manifestation. And it won't come on you until you actually respond to that leading. We're saying it different ways so we can get it. And so, under the anointing, you're able to do things that you couldn't do before that anointing came on you. I mean, think about Elijah outrunning the horse's chariot. That's impossible as a human without the anointing. Different things throughout the Bible that people did. Well, how about Moses stretching out his rod over the Red Sea? Why don't you go get a rod and fly over there to the Red Sea and hold it out and see what happens? If you're not under the anointing, nothing's going to happen. Amen. Well, all these men were under the anointing. That's what we're getting good at in this era. Amen? And so to accomplish Spirit-anointed results, We must become good at being yielded to the Spirit. Because that's how some of this era, in other words, will never come to fullness unless we get good at this. We got to get good at it. And we are. That's not a criticism. We are getting good at it. But we got some ground we still got to cover, don't we? And we're taking it. You can only accomplish Spirit-anointed results when the Spirit is in manifestation and flowing through you. Once it lifts, you're as natural, you're as normal of a human being as the guy out on the street. You know, as far as being able to do what happened under the anointing. So doing something and the Spirit's doing it as the Spirit moves on you, and then the anointing comes on you, and you're in the flow of the Spirit because you responded to Him. Now, when we say, I have an unction to do such and such, we're saying the anointing is rising up within me to lead me to do that, but that won't ever manifest. In other words, what God intended to manifest as a result of doing that will never come unless we respond to that anointing. This is where faith comes in, and this is why some in the church are not flowing with this, because they don't have faith to respond to the Holy Ghost. They got faith to hear the Word and maybe do some of the Word, but this is the Word too. Amen. Amen. God has actually given us some exercise rooms to practice this. I had a man still in my church. His brother is a real famous, actually Hall of Famer, football player. He's now retired, but he had in his home, of course, he's always staying in shape to keep on top of his game, but he had a whole huge major exercise room in his house. Well, you'd understand why. Because it's not enough just the day before the game just to go do some reps and, you know, get some exercise. It was a daily thing for hours for him. I think, if I remember right, I can't remember. I think it was 4 hours a day at least, almost daily. Well, you wonder why they're good, and there's the reason, you know. So, but, and of course, talent goes along with it. But the point I'm making is God's given us some exercise rooms to yield to the Spirit in our private lives. Here's two of them, tongues, and of course, tongues interpretation can go along with it, but then also psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are places that God's given us the ability to practice yielding to the Holy Ghost. Because what happens is when we speak in tongues, we're speaking out of our spirit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When we speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we're speaking out of our spirit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it's practice of getting into the Spirit. Yes. It's not coming, tongues is not coming out of our mind. Tongues and actually psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is not coming out of our mind. It's coming through our mind, but it's not coming out of our mind. Amen. So this is one of the great keys in developing moving in the Spirit. One of them I just mentioned is develop the inner witness and always learn to follow that. Always learn to follow that. Because that's the genesis of many of these manifestations. And listen, when I say manifestations, I'm not just talking about manifestations in church. How about your life? Some of the most spectacular things in my life have just come as a result of the witness of the Spirit. God blessed us with a piece of property, personal property, not where we live. We're going to move there. We're building our house there. But personal property, 50 acres of woodland that for 5 years, where we were in faith, took us 5 years to believe God to get the down payment on it. 50 acres of woodland, beautiful rolling hills and woodland, but we just kept having it in our spirit. That's our land. That's our land. It didn't make sense to our mind. We didn't need that much land. Now I'm seeing the plan, and we needed that land. There's more to it. We're going to bless some ministers with it. But the thing about it is, it was just an inner witness. And it got me into the land. We started using our faith, and God got us the down payment. We bought the land, and within 2.5, or was it 3.5? I'm going to have to go back and look. Years, bam, it's paid off. How did I get into that? By following the inner witness. I found faith is much easier whenever you follow the Spirit into things than whenever you say, I'm going to claim that just out of your head. Now, don't misunderstand me. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But it just works much easier. I think Pastor Nancy's taught well on that, so we don't need to spend much more time. So, hallelujah. Now, the reason it takes faith to speak in tongues is because you don't know what you're going to say next. It takes faith to operate in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs because you don't know what you're going to say next. And so what it is developing faith to respond to the Holy Ghost. And it's an exercise room, so to speak, that all believers should be exercising themselves in to practice yielding to the Holy Ghost. As you practice in those realms that every believer should be practiced in, as you do that, then an anointing to come will come on you to do some other things sometimes. But you got to go through the door. Or let's put it another way. Oh, this could be a longer, we might not have time for this today, but the Spirit, God, let's put it, I talked about it being a doorway into the Spirit or an exercise room that you can practice getting into the Spirit. It's another way of saying it is some of these things that God has given us, like speaking in tongues and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, there's others we'll get into. It's like a launching pad where you can sit on that launching pad and go on up into another realm. You remember the shuttle? I think they retired the shuttle, the space shuttle now. But you remember that bird was designed to operate in two realms. It has wings, so it can come back like a glider, you know, back into the atmospheric realm and operate as a glider in the atmospheric realm. But it has much equipment on there to operate in outer space. And that's the way it was designed, so that they could use it over and over again and so forth. Well, that's the way Christians are. Christians are designed to operate in two realms. You should be operating in the very, very, very functioning, very, you know, normally in the natural realm. But then you can also operate in the spirit realm. You're equipped for that. And God's given you some launching pads to get into it. We could name them. Maybe we'll get into them maybe later. But one of them is, like we said, speaking in tongues. Speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, just meditating on the Word. I say just, you know. Praise and worship. Spending time in your private prayer time praising and worshiping God. Of course, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is part of that. But just out of your own, just out of your own heart to the Lord. Just thanking Him for different things in the Word and so forth. Praise and worship. Just psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and following the inner witness. These are all, so to speak, launching pads into the spirit realm. I remember years ago, I would say, let's see here, probably 25 or more years ago, probably about 25 years ago, I was up one night. I was praying about, so I actually woke up. This happens quite often with me. In the middle of the night, I'll wake up for a couple hours and end up praying, whatever, sometimes just building myself up, sometimes praying about something. And so this particular night, I was awakened and I was doing that, and I was praying about a particular situation that we were in our lives and needed to get out of, you know. Anybody ever been there? So I was praying about that. And to be honest with you, I was praying about it in English to the Lord, real quiet. My wife's still laying right there in bed. I never woke her up. It was just praying quiet. And then I got over into tongues, talking to the Lord about it in tongues. And then actually got over into psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I'm laying there just worshiping God in English, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sometimes when you wake up at night and your mind has been quiet, sometimes when you first wake up, that's the easiest time to get into the Spirit. Don't wake up with the habit of instantly going into your mind, oh, I got to do this today, do this today. Dip down in your spirit. It'll be much easier then because your mind's been quiet all night. And so I practiced doing that. Well, I was laying there and I was doing that, and then I got over to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I'll never forget the longest day I live. There had been a minister that my wife and I, for 7 years in a row, had done a camp meeting together with in a particular state that we were invited guests. This minister was an invited guest. I wasn't conducting the camp meeting. We were just invited guests. Another pastor in that city was conducting the camp meeting. There was like five of us ministers, if I remember right. Four or five of us. I think it was five of us. Every year for 7 years, we all were guest ministers, and about all the churches in that area came together. It was a really powerful camp meeting. Anyway, but over that period of 7 years, after about four years, we noticed that something was different about this one minister that was coming. There's something different. The next year it was worse. And the third year it was bad. People were walking out of the service. This was another spirit. Something got on this man. I don't know why the minister kept inviting him. But the point is that it got really bad. And then within a month or so after this meeting, I think he ran off with a lady, got into sin, just a lot. He was off. How many of you know those things don't, whenever that all comes out, it didn't start that day. having been also a guest minister at that meeting and knowing him, sitting and talking and so forth, you know, you get a man like that on your heart and start praying for him. And so we're praying, and some of the other ministers, we were conversing some, talking, praying for him. And I'll never forget talking to one minister, and he said, boy, we tried to restore him and so forth, and he's just hardened in his heart and doesn't want to talk to us and so forth. And I said, well, I'm just going to keep on praying for him. And we were getting nowhere, so to speak, you know, in the natural. If you just went by the sight, you're getting nowhere. Except this night that I was telling you earlier about, I'd been praying, then I got over into tongues, and then I got over into psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That night, at the end of that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, boop, I went into the Spirit. Now, I had been in the Spirit in a different dimension of the Spirit, drawn out of my spirit by the leading of the Spirit. But all of a sudden, now I went into the Spirit in seeing and knowing. In the Spirit, I see this man standing there, and I see a demon creature coming against him and opposing him. And actually, it was interesting. And some things you don't base doctrines on. How many of you know? Some things you just don't want to go there with doctrine. But this particular demon was swallowing this man. I'm like, that is crazy. And so in the vision, whenever I saw this, an anointing came on me. And I said, it probably wasn't loud. My wife never woke up. Probably wasn't loud in the natural, but in the spirit, I screamed it. I mean, not like a scream, desperation scream, but it was a strong command. Swallow him not up, you have not your prize. Swallow him not up. I said that three times. And when I said that in the vision, a beam of light came out of heaven in the vision, struck that demon creature. Like I said, you don't base doctrines on some of this. But struck that demon creature, and he fell into a million pieces. I believe it was a type of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Demons live forever. You know, they're eternal creatures. But it's just a type of the yoke, I believe, being destroyed. So, but whenever that hit him, that thing just broke apart, and he stood back up. The man stood back up and brushed himself off and started walking straight. Got back on his path and started walking straight. This demon came manifested again and started to try to harass him again, but he never really yielded to it. This is all in the vision. Then the vision disappeared. I saw another one of these ministers within a week or two at one of Brother Hagin's meetings, and I told him about what I had seen. No, excuse me, I didn't tell him all the details. I told him, I said, I got it in the Spirit. I didn't tell him all the details. I said, I got it in the Spirit. He said, oh, man, his heart is hard. I said, no, I got it. He's going to turn around. And he did. He submitted himself to some people. He got restored. Some things got back on track. Now, he never quite had the same ministry. You know, he had done some damage, but at least he got back on track. And praise God for that. We thank God for that. But somebody said, well, isn't that wonderful how God moved? Well, no, I got on the launching pad. You see that? I mean, I couldn't make up that manifestation. I couldn't make that happen. But I could you know, get on the launching pad and see what realm that I could get into, what I could do. Now, when it comes to other people, you can't always get things for other people, but for yourself, you can always get it because you have authority in your life. Amen. Well, can you see that? These are doorways in, you might say. Some of these things are doorways into the Spirit, or another term, launching pads into the Spirit. But we've got to use our faith to do what the Bible tells all of us to do. I could not use my faith to have that vision. You can't do that. But I could use my faith to speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because the Bible tells all of us to do that. So since the Bible tells all of us to do that, all of us can do that, and then God will take us into whatever else according as the Spirit wills that we need in order to operate in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, this blesses me. This blesses me. This helps me. I believe we need to learn to live this way. But it takes faith. It takes faith to just start out with the simple directives to pray in other tongues, build ourselves up, speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, worship in the Spirit, meditate in the Word, and so forth and so on. Follow the inner witness. We can do all those things by faith, can't we? I remember an experience I had. I won't tell you the year. I won't tell you the president. I won't tell you the details because there's a lot more that I don't want to take the time to explain right now. But one Saturday afternoon, a number of years ago, my wife and I'm getting ready for a Sunday service. Normally, I would go down in a room that we had down in the basement, just kind of a spare bedroom, and pray. It's kind of my prayer room in the house. But this Saturday afternoon, for some reason, I just sat there in the living room and just was reading my Bible, meditating, kind of not really, not really getting ready for my service, although I got my antenna up, but I'm just getting I'm just feeding my spirit. And I'm reading my Bible. My wife, I'm sitting on my leather chair. She's sitting over on the sofa. And we're both sitting there just feeding our spirits. I think we sat there for 3 hours and never said a word to each other. Just both of us, just enjoying. There was just a nice quiet afternoon there. And so anyway, I'm just feeding my spirit and kind of looking at some things. And while I'm doing that, I don't know how to describe it other than, you know, you get your mind totally on the Word and you're almost not even aware that, you don't even remember that your wife's sitting there or that you're in the living room. You're just so engrossed in what you're meditating. I don't mean you're in a trance. I don't mean you're having a vision. I just mean you're just caught up with what you're thinking about, you know. And that's a measure of being in the Spirit. Well, I'm sitting there and I'm meditating on something and I don't know how to describe it other than all of a sudden, like a door opened in my Bible right there in front of me. It's just all I know how to say. It's like a door opened and all of a sudden, whoop, I went into the Spirit in a greater dimension. And I saw a man that I had seen on TV, I think maybe twice or three times, that was coming on the scenes all of a sudden in the political realm. I saw him that he was going to be the next president of the United States. The Lord spoke to me and said some things to me about him, said what would happen in his administration, and said there's some things that he would stumble in, but he'll not fall, and so forth and so on. Well, then all of a sudden I'm back, and I'm like, whoa, what was that? And so I wrote some things down. I didn't even tell my wife what it was. So I said, I want to keep a record of this because, you know, this didn't come up out of my mind. I barely even knew anything about the man. In fact, I didn't know he was running for president. That was Saturday afternoon. We had a practice back then on Sunday afternoon after service, stop by a convenience store or something, get a Sunday newspaper and look at all the ads for all the stores for the next week. So we stopped and got the newspaper, and it was sort of rolled up. I didn't think much about it. Had lunch, and then I sat down in that same living room, except now I'm on the floor because I had all the newspaper all spread out. And I sat down, and I'm looking at the newspaper. And when I plopped it down, on the front page was this man's picture. And the day before, unknown to me, he had announced he's running for president of the United States. That was Friday. the day Saturday in the afternoon, it said in the article that he had come to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's where I'm pastoring. He had stopped and made his first campaign speech for the presidency of the United States in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. At, I forget the hour right now. I think it was, if I'm going to say it was 2 o'clock, I might be wrong, but I think it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He stood up on the platform and gave his first campaign speech, and that was exactly the very moment I went into the Spirit, and then God said, he's going to be the next president of the United States. And he became the next president of the United States. Amen. Well, how did I know that? Not by natural knowledge. I didn't even know he was running. In fact, I didn't know much about him. But I went into the Spirit and God revealed it. There's a lot more to it. I don't have time to get into it. But here's my point. What was I doing whenever something like that happened? I was meditating in the Word. See, that's a doorway into some of these things. I'm not saying if you're meditating in the Word, you'll have a vision. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just simply saying that gives God opportunity to move by His Spirit when your attention, say that word attention, is on Him and His Word. You know, sometimes you get your child's, in order to get your children to know something or do something, you got to get their attention first. Isn't that right? And that's what God has to do sometimes in order to get us into this realm. Amen. Well, did you learn anything from that? God gave us some of these things to edify ourselves, keep ourselves built up, keep ourselves aware of the spirit realm, and it takes faith to yield to these things. You know, a lot of people today, they can't hold their attention on spiritual things very long at all. Well, that went over good. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's a good place to stop. Because if we went any further, we'd be starting something new, and I believe it's just a good place to stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we go to heaven, before Jesus returns, I believe we're going to know a lot more about this area of the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. Are you going to know more next year than you know this year? How about the year after that? More than the next year. And keep on growing. Keep on moving. Be very normal in the natural. But much more skilled in flowing with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Thank Him out loud. Why don't you praise Him and just thank Him for the word along this line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the ability You've given us to launch into this place and this all these resources. Thank You that it's real. And we thank You, Father, for helping us to grow in the reality of it. Hallelujah. As we grow in faith and as we grow in the yielding ourselves to the Spirit by faith, we thank You, Father, for increase. Increase of this realm manifesting in the natural realm so that this era can come into fullness and we'll have all that's in Your heart. The harvest will be reaped, the outpouring will come in fullness, and the rain will be in fullness in Jesus' name. Father, You're looking for vessels. You're looking for pioneers. You're looking for people who will say yes to the move of Your Spirit. We say, here we are. Use us as You desire. We'll give You all the praise for all the results because no man can take it to themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We've got to get into some things about some strategies of the enemy against this. Maybe that'll be tomorrow. We'll see. But greet your neighbor. You're dismissed, and we'll see you tomorrow. Or tonight. We'll see you tonight.